Chapter 16. Fury of the Space Marines. 400 Space Marines came to Terra, a company each from two of the newly founded chapters, the Halo Brethren and the Sable Swords. Flying with them were 200 Imperial Fists of the 1st, 4th and 5th Companies. This time, the crowds were not out to meet them.
"I thank you for the honor of leading this expedition, Lord Thane."
Unhelmeted, Kublicus Amar, Lord of the Sable Swords, was forced to shout over the noise of a Thunderhawk as it battled its way down through Terra's atmosphere.
"It has been said that you should lead it. The Imperial Fists have accrued many battle honors since the fall of the beast."
"Not I," said Thane.
He did wear his helmet, and his Voxgrill boosted his voice.
"Vangarich was my error. I have come to put it right. But I should not be the one to lead. My judgment regarding the Grand Master is compromised."
Amar resettled himself in his drop cradle. The Thunderhawk banged and leapt as it encountered a pocket of rising warm air.
"It is over a century since you last trod the throne world's surface. You could not have predicted what happened. A new golden age approaches, Thane, and your efforts are to thank. Beyond Terra, the Imperium has recovered. Hundreds of worlds have been reclaimed and rebuilt. The armies of the Imperium are larger and better organized. New fleets ply the stars and the warp, while the eyes of the Inquisition are everywhere alert to new threats. It will soon be time to crusade again and expand our borders in the name of the Emperor."
"All you say is true. But Terra itself and many other worlds have suffered. That is on me. I cannot lead this expedition." Thane would speak no more of it, and Amar let him be to check his equipment one final time. Thane had expected a fight, but the task force did not get one. Kubik greeted them cordially from Mars. No fire was loosed at them by starforts or solar defense ships. The new orbital fortresses greeted the Space Marines and offered their fleet berths. Several tense hours ensued after the fleet put into high orbit over Terra. A party of High Lords met with Thane and Amar aboard the High Wall, a new Goliath-class star fort in orbit over the palace. After swift negotiation, 20 Thunderhawks flew to the surface. Thane suggested Amar have the gunships put down in a ring in the Fields of Winged Victory. It seemed apt, somehow. The paving was dirty and cracked, the spire surrounding it tarnished and in ill repair. Thane had a feeling this neglect was only a taste of what there was to come. Unopposed, Thane and Amar walked down the ramp of the gunship and onto Terra's hallowed surface. Squads of Space Marines spread out in defensive order. Land speeders dropped from passing transports, made controlled descents to the surface, then raced off into the palace.
"My Lord's Chapter Master," said Captain Ethratan,
second captain of the Sable Swords,
"there are no signs of an enemy anywhere."
Thane looked around the fields. They were a good place to land, so big ambush was impossible.
"Everyone wants Vangarich gone. We'll suffer no attention from the Adeptus Militarum, Arbitrators or Adeptus Custodes," he said to Ethratan and Amar.
"But there will be opposition. Vangarich's assassins are loyal to him, and he has expanded his officio since I was last here. Be careful. Watch the shadows. This will not be an easy fight."
"Understood, my lord," said Amar.
Dissatisfied, Thane watched Amar head out.
Amar should have more confidence.
The members of the newer chapters were too deferential to him, and it made him uncomfortable. Warriors that adulated their heroes could be led astray by the wrong leader. If the likes of Ethratan or Amar knew that the Imperial Fists had briefly fallen, they might not be so worshipful. A Thunderhawk transporter came down slowly, engines roaring, Dawn's fist slung in its cradle. It released its cargo claws 3 meters above the ground, dropping the land raider onto the fields. The assembled forces of the three chapters spread out in groups, heading into the deathly quiet city. Dawn's fist was the very land raider in which Thane had arrived in triumph at the fields a century before. He boarded the great vehicle. Reversing the course he took on that day, he headed for Bastion Gate and rode for the Widdishin's Tower. They passed through without incident, the Bastion's Gate bristling weapons array inactive. The lights were out in the wall tunnel and beyond.
There were no people on the streets. There was an expectant quiet everywhere.
Terra wanted rid of Vangarich, but it irked Thane that the worthies of the throne world were too spineless to do it themselves. The buildings of the palace were in various states of disrepair. Some still bore the scars of the orc attack. Instead of proper reconstruction, vast sums of money had been spent on great monuments, from whose half-finished edifices hung the corpses of those who had displeased the Lord Protector. The dead were more evident than the living. Tall informational posters adorned every major intersection and transit station, laying out the duties of the Terran citizen. The penalties for failing to comply were invariably death. The great chamber's domed roof rose pregnantly from the surrounding blocks and spires. Still, they saw no one. It was as Thane neared the Widdershins Tower that the first shot was fired. A vox chime, ultimate priority, rang in his helmet.
Lord Thane, Chapter Master Ammar is dead.
Report.
An exodus round took him as we were deploying to search the Great Chamber. We're under heavy fire. There are numerous hostile contacts.
Fall back into cover, he ordered. I shall assume command.
Thane's fury grew. The first casualty, and it was a chapter master. It appeared he was to be responsible for Vangarich's overthrow after all. He ordered augur sweeps and airstrikes on the areas around the Great Chamber to clear the way for the Sable Swords. And then, hell broke loose.
Thane leaned around a corner and let off a quick burst of three bolts. He received a punishing exodus round in his pauldron that shattered its auto-reactive mechanisms in exchange.
"Get a missile launcher up here!" he commanded.
His faceplate was full of flashing runes. Imperial Fist's warriors were embattled all around the Widdershins Tower. Vindicare assassins shot down at them from the rooftops with virtual impunity. Calidus operatives attacked in free-flowing squads of three, slashing their phase swords through power armor and darting back into cover before they could be cut down. Thane had penetrated into the foyer of the tower. The lifts were all dead. No power was within. The entry had the run-down, neglected feel that had been reported from all over the city. Thane retreated a few meters, rotated his arm, and grimaced. The mechanisms in his armor ground horribly. Three other space marines took his place and fired up the stairs. One was downed after firing only twice, smoking holes drilled through each of his hearts.
Missile approaching!
Space marines moved out of the way, making as much use of the limited cover as was possible. Every exposed stabilization nozzle, elbow or foot, drew a shot.
Make way for him, commanded Thane.
The missile launcher bearer, Brother Arcus, crouched by Thane's feet.
On three, said Thane. We shall fill this stairway with bolts. You must aim true, brother. I have a lock on the assassin's position, my lord, said Arcus. Very good. Make it count. On three, two, one.
Thane and four others leaned out, sending out a wall of bolts. Arcus stepped into the middle of the stairs, activated his stabilizers, and fired. The missile roared off, lighting the dark stair with its exhaust flare. A ball of flame rolled back down towards them as it detonated over the target. Bits of debris rattled off their armor. Arcus remained where he was.
He's dead,
he said. Thane looked up, his sensorium overlay settling on a corpse torn in half some 100 steps up the staircase.
He is, said the chapter master.
He slapped the warrior on the shoulder.
A good shot.
Bravely done.
My lord,
called Arcus as Thane headed off up the stairs.
Perhaps you should not go first.
If I fall, there are others who will kill the Grand Master for me.
Vangarich skulks behind others. That is not my way.
So saying, Thane bounded up the steps. Three more assassins fell before Thane made it to the top of the tower. The antechamber outside the cerebrium was quiet. The sounds of the combat going on at every level of the buildings around the Widdershins Tower muted. In battle-stained armor, Thane trod a thick carpet past displays of flowering plants. He looked back to the warriors following him. Three Imperial Fists and two Sable Swords held a finger to his visor grill and tapped at the housings of his vox pickup, then shook his head. There were precious few who could break the encryption of Space Marine Squad communication. Vangarich was one of them. By battle sign, Thane had his warriors array themselves around the Cerebrium's priceless wooden doors. It seemed a shame to kick them in. The doors flew back under the blow from Thane's boot. The Cerebrium was beyond, outfitted as a private office for someone who loved books. They lined every wall, hiding the wooden panelling. Behind the large desk, her back to the window, was Inquisitor Venand.
"Venand," said Thane, "where is Vangarich?"
Thane looked much the same as he had a century ago. Venand was unrecognizable. The handsome woman Thane had last seen had become wrinkled, her features distorted by harsh antigerontics and the hardships of an inquisitor's life. Her eyes were sunken and ringed with brown flesh. A scar ran across her face from her left temple to her chin, cutting through her nose and lips. Her hair, once iron grey, was a brilliant white. She smiled.
"I have become old," she said apologetically. "I'll bet under that helmet you have not changed at all."
Thane made to come forwards, his bolter up.
"Stop," she said. "Draken assumed you had come here to his office this last century. It is rigged to explode as soon as anyone attempts to leave it."
Thane stopped at the threshold.
"You are within."
"I needed a way to convince you of my sincerity. I will not live past the end of the hour. Whether I am killed by your hand or by Vangarich's, it makes no difference. Do you think me a traitor, Chapter Master?"
"Yes," said Thane. "Vangarich executed the High 12. He left you alive and in office. When he installed puppets and doppelgangers to do his bidding, you and Kubik remained in power. When they too failed to be biddable and he dissolved the council, you and Kubik were set free."
"Not free. Not completely," she said. "And Kubik is dead. He has been for 100 years.
"Then with whom was I speaking when we put in at Mars?"
"Eldon Erquidex," she said.
She picked up a book and turned it over in her hands. 4 bolt guns were trained upon her. Thane raised his hand and gestured his men back.
"Vangarich took Kubik's data core, implanted it in Erquidex, and convinced him to impersonate Kubik. Although he's been doing it so long now, I think he's forgotten who he was. From a certain point of view, Erquidex is Kubik."
"It doesn't matter who he is. He supported Vangarich. You are both traitors," said Thane.
"You are not blameless," said Venand. "You made Vangarich Lord Protector. You have been absent for a century, crusading so zealously it blinded you to what was happening on Terra. You must have known Vangarich had executed the High Lords, though he tried to keep it from you. I tried to tell you often enough myself. You must have received some of my messages, but you did not return to put an end to his reign. Is that not an act of treachery?"
Thane shrugged. His damaged pauldron hitched. "He was doing a reasonable job of ruling Terra, so I believed. He has outlived his usefulness, and that is my fault, but it is my duty to kill you, nevertheless."
"I am not a traitor, Thane. No one stands against you, the assassin Aurum aside, because I have worked for weeks to bring together the Adepta of Terra. Before that, while you were off washing your failures away with blood, I have been at Draken's side, moderating his worst excesses. I was all for trying to bring him down, but Veritas convinced me not to. He said that Vangarich had outplayed us all, and that removing him would be worse than the alternative of letting him rule. A single voice sings clearer than an unharmonious chorus, and there was no chorus as unharmonious as the Beast-era High Lords. We haven't done badly. We restored Terra and refortified it. We have seen dozens of the worlds ravaged by the Orcs, rebuilt and reincorporated. Mars works in unity with the Imperium again, and he did not interfere with your 4th founding. The armies of man are stronger than at any time since the Heresy."
"That is why I did not return."
"Then it is your fault. These last 20 years have been different. His edicts have become bizarre. There have been needless massacres, population relocation for no reason, appointment of unsuitable candidates to planetary governorship. Worlds starve as he redirects resources here for vain works. Terra was rebuilt, but he would turn it into a bauble while its real needs go untended." She smiled bitterly. "The biggest statues he erected are of you and Courland.
I do not care for statues. He must go. The High Lords must reign once more.
They must, Beenan said.
She turned the book over again, running slender fingers over its page edges.
Vangarich did not wish to be a tyrant. He set out with the best of intentions. The pressure of running the Imperium has driven him quite mad, I fear. It did not help him that I never could return the affection he had for me, so maybe I am as responsible for his excesses as you.
Thane said nothing. Matters of the heart were a mystery to him.
This book, she said,
holding it up. It had a grubby blue canvas cover.
He used to read it in the Sigillite's retreat. It is The Sayings of the Sigillite, with notes on the Apocrypha.
What of it?
She set it down. I merely underline my point. He set out to do what he could, she said.
Where is he, Venand?
He has fled to Temple Eversaw in the Actic. He is waiting for you there.
Is this a trap?
Not one I am setting, if that's what you're suggesting. I stayed here to tell you this information, so you'd be forewarned. He knows I would tell you this. From his point of view, it is a trap whether you go in blindly or with your eyes open. He knows you will go there no matter what I say.
We have seen no Eversaw acolytes here. Where are they? Said Thane.
They are with him, all of them. That is the trap.
She smiled one last time.
Goodbye, Maximus Thane.
Thane placed his fist on his chest, bowed, and left. When he was halfway down the stairs, the cerebrium exploded. Thane reviewed the casualty reports from the battle in the palace. Half of the Space Marines had fallen. It was hard to credit that mortals could inflict such losses. 10 Thunderhawk gunships left the fields of winged victory while the battle in the palace raged on. The assassins had wisely left the gunships alone, but in the confines of the city they were deadly, and they were everywhere. Thane had no idea how many of them there were, and the fighting spread out across the whole central district of the palace and beyond. Theoretically, the assassins could fight a covert war for years. Realistically, the only way to stop them would be to have a new Grand Master order them to lay down their arms. Though their numbers dropped by the hour, they fought on in pockets. Thane was grateful for Venan's preparatory efforts to ensure that Vangarich could not rouse the population of Terra against him, and even more glad that the Adeptus Custodes had decided to remain neutral. The assassins were trouble enough, and even though people were off the streets in the central districts, Thane's strategos serfs and his own best guesses put the casualties among civilians well into the thousands. In the more distant parts of the palace, it was far worse, with many of them still attempting to go about their business, driven by duty and fear to reach their places of service. Battles burst into vast scriptoria where thousands laboured. Artisanal workshops became the sites of brutal firefights. It was inevitable people would die. Thane added their deaths to the tally of Vangarich's sins as the Imperial Palace dropped away under the Thunderhawk. Layers of brown smog cloaked the palace, but could not hide the sheer immensity of it. The palace was more than a city. It covered the site of the old continent of Europa from north to south, spilling out into the dry seabeds. At 6,000 metres, the lower portions were lost to view, the higher towers and spires thrusting up through the polluted air like islands in a dirty sea. The Thunderhawks turned towards the pole and rose higher. Auspex sweeps pinged repeatedly in the cockpit, but Terra's substantial anti-orbital and anti-aircraft firepower remained inactive. Vangarich was completely isolated. As they flew over the palace and towards the dirty ice fields of the north, Thane called the battle barge Storm of Might and ordered scout teams to land nearby and guide orbital strikes on the temple. Precision only. Remove its air defences. Target the barracks. Do not destroy it, he concluded his orders. I will take Vangarich alive. He must answer for his crimes. The Space Marines put down in a plaza, still smoking from a stray lance hit. Defense laser towers burned at the four corners of the temple. Temple Eversaw occupied the planed-off summit of a mountain near to the magnetic pole. A dreary vista of exposed seabed and eerily sculpted sails of ice caked in dirt and pollutants
receded into the distance. The temple staff were dead. Their bodies were scattered wherever Thane looked. A few had been killed by the Space Marine reconnaissance teams, but most had no visible injuries, but exhibited signs of poisoning of a dozen different kinds.
"Who did this?"
asked Thane's standard-bearer. "He has. Thangorich slaughtered his followers," said Thane. "He is insane." Cold wind blew over the arid landscape. Thane marshalled his 150 warriors. The main temple was ahead. Setting the scout teams to guard the Thunderhawks, the battle brothers of three chapters advanced. The entrance to the temple was deceptively small and unassuming, but the first hall was as grand as a cathedral. Stone blocks with no visible names upon them acted as memorials to the unsung heroes of the Imperium. More temple staff lay dotted around, their skin green, mouths thick with frothed saliva. The Space Marines spread out. Ahead, a broad stairway led downwards into the main part of the temple, an extensive underground complex of training chambers, barracks, surgeries, cells, hypnosariums, and huge machine rooms. Thane had his warriors check them all, though he knew in his gut they would be deserted by all but the dead. Thangorich waited for them in the depths of the temple, a spider at the heart of its web. He was in the largest hall of all, dominated by monumental statuary and massive glassaic windows whose colours were dulled by the black rock behind them. A vaulted ceiling, stretched 100 meters above their heads, supported on a row of columns running down the walls where they divided the spaces between the windows into cylindrical alcoves, 50 either side of the hall. Thangorich sat on the steps of a dais at the end of the hall, one knee upraised, his elbow resting on it and his hand cupping his chin. Once so neat and well-presented, he had become filthy and unkempt. His nails were long and ragged, and his hair lank. He had become thin, but there was still a hint of his old strength visible in the sinewy cords of his neck and wrist. Though old by the standards of mortals, he was without mechanical aid. He was still dangerous.
"Drakkan Thangorich," pronounced Thane. "I am here to arrest you for high treason to the Imperium of Man and gross abuse of privilege that goes against the fundamental principles of Imperial government."
Thangorich yawned.
"You always said you'd come back. Here you are, making good on your threat."
His voice had a new wild edge.
"You took your time."
"I never intended that you rule alone," said Thane.
He stepped closer and drew his power sword. Its field glowed faintly in the gloom.
"I discovered fairly quickly that it was either rule alone or not rule at all," said Thangorich. "The Senatorum was ungovernable. I had to act. Kubik moved Ulanor. That's why I had to kill them. It's still out there, not too far from Terra."
"Why did you not recall me? Why did you kill them all?"
"Because you would not have come back," said Thangorich.
He stood up, his stale scent wafting out to Thane.
"I did my best. You should have ruled, Thane. You would have done better. But you wanted your crusade. I didn't want to be Lord Protector."
"You did," said Thane. "You lied for so long that you cannot stop. You lied even to yourself. Look into your innermost self, Grandmaster. I believe you will find that you intended to rule all along, and I was blind not to see."
Thangorich smiled, exposing dirty teeth. In the smile, the lines around the mouth, the set of a head, there was a flash of the man he had been.
"Give me time. Everything will be set to rights. Protecting the Imperium and protecting humanity are not always the same. I will make it better. You will see."
Thane looked at the filthy Thangorich. His suaveness, intelligence, and wit were gone. Time was cruel to mortal men. What bittered Thane the most was that Thangorich was right. He should have stayed. He had set personal honour over duty.
"It is too late. You failed in your ambition as you failed your emperor," said Thane. "It is time for you to step down, Thangorich. Come and face judgment. You shall be tried by the new High Lords of Terra. Justice served shall be a warning to all those who think themselves mightier than the emperor's will."
Thangorich stood and laughed, clapping in delight. 150 bolt-gun slides were racked back.
"What a marvellous speech!" he said. "But no, I must decline, you see?" he said impishly. "You are making a terrible mistake."
"I made my mistake 100 years ago," said Thane. "I should have heeded your suggestion and let Veritas lead the Senatorum."
"You're making another one now," said Vangorich.
His eyes gleamed with incipient madness.
"And it shall be your last!"
A klaxon blared its rising-falling song. Blinking lights shone in the alcoves along the temple walls. 100 capsules rose from the floor into them, rotating amber lights on their tops. They locked into place with loud thunks. Swirling gas filled each, lit with blue light. Inside them were the indistinct forms of human bodies, clad in tight-fitting sinskin. In an asynchronous cacophony, the gas vented from the capsules.
"This is Temple Eversaw," said Vangorich. "Allow me to introduce its acolytes."
The space marines opened fire, shooting at the capsules, but they were made of centimeters-thick armor glass, and though they cracked and fractured, they did not break. One by one, the shapes inside came alive, twitching gauntlets raking against their prisons. The doors opened, releasing more methylon fumes into the room. Water vapor condensed in the chilled air, cloaking everything with a dense, freezing fog. The warriors around Thane disappeared into coils of white. Thane activated false-color heat vision. He saw his men. The Eversaws were as cold as the gas, and he did not see them coming. Bolt guns went off all around him. Somewhere he heard Vangorich's insane laughter. The fight that followed was one of the hardest of Thane's life. Black-suited killers reared up in the mist, moving too fast for him to hit easily. The shouts of battle brothers rang in his helmet. Space marines came into sight, only to be cut down by the flashing finger blades of Temple Eversaw's crazed killers.
"Fall back to the door," ordered Thane. "Defensive cordon."
His dwindling men formed up around the entrance, back to back, bolt guns blazing. A handful of Eversaws got behind them, causing great loss before they were cut down. Casualty screed scrolled endlessly on Thane's faceplate display. Black, skull-masked assassins darted in and out of view, clawing men down. In their turn, the assassins died messily, blasted apart by mass reactives or detonated by uncontrollable biofeedback when their hearts stopped. Such was the force of their explosions that space marines went down, battle plate holed by fragments of hypervelocity bone shards and armor.
"Keep them back!" yelled Thane. "Keep them back!"
Executioner pistols fired, loud brazen bolt guns one moment, silent toxin needlers the next. The Eversaws pressed nearer. Fighting became close and desperate, and the firing discipline of the Adeptus Astartes collapsed. The group disintegrated into individuals fighting for their lives in melee. At close quarters, Vangorich's killers excelled. The warriors fighting at his side became fewer, going from 100 to 75 to 50 to 20 to 10. Thane battled on, his power sword the flaring dividing line between his life and death. He parried and cut, but his blows cleaved only the mist. The assassins were faster than the wind, near impossible to hit. They fought in a frenzy that appeared at first to lack control, but after a time Thane discerned a pattern to their combat and was awed by their skill. His actions became reflexive, time-blurred. Only rarely had Thane fought so hard. As a space marine, he regarded himself as the pinnacle of the transhuman type. The Eversaws, though unstable mentally and physically, challenged that belief. Thane fought with a dancing monster with a blue death's head for a face. It leapt around, howling like an animal. After minutes of dueling, Thane spotted a weakness in its attacks and brought his sword up, hilt first, swinging the point up and through the Eversaw's stomach wall and gutting it. Before it died, it slashed down with its neurogauntlet. Monomolecular blades sliced through ceramite and plasteel, biting into Thane's flesh. Toxins surged from micropores all up the blades, pumping into the chapter master's body. He roared in agony. He had never felt such pain. He stumbled and fell to his knees, paralyzed by the poison. When his body had purged the toxin sufficiently for him to move, he looked up, his eyes streaming with tears. The mist was clearing. He heard a final round of gunfire, a scream, and the clash of power armor falling to the floor. A dark shadow fell across Thane's face. An Eversor stood over him, ready to deliver the final blow.
Halt!
Called Vangarich. He walked through the last dispersing tendrils of mist.
You have lost, Chapter Master Thane, and it is your life that is forfeit.
No,
said the Eversor, and stood back. Trembling with the effort of disobeying its programming, the killer pulled its skull mask from its face. Yanking cables from its head, it cast the mask aside. Most of the flesh of the face beneath had been peeled away, replaced with close-fitting augmetic devices. Elsewhere, there was naught but shining, polished bone inscribed with devotional text. But there was just enough of the features left for Thane to recognize him.
Cruel, he said.
Through a mutilated mouth, Cruel managed to speak.
My name is Esed Wire,
he said. He stood aside, leaving Thane a clear shot at Vangarich. Thane raised his bolt pistol. Vangarich's eyes widened. He held up his hands.
Wait! Did you ever hear the story of the end of Conrad Kurz?
No more stories, Drachen, said Thane,
and ended Vangarich's life with a single bolter shell. Swaying, feeling nauseous from the residue of the poison in his blood, Maximus Thane stood. He gripped his wounded arm. He was alone amid a carpet of broken bodies, space marine and assassin alike. He called out for survivors, but no voice answered. Relief flooded him when he voxed the Thunderhawks and found all was well outside.
Send the apothecaries. They have a harvest of sorrow ahead of them, he said.
He turned away from Vangarich's broken corpse. Too weary to raise his sword, he dragged it across the ground as he walked unsteadily back towards the stairs and the daylight beyond. Of Esad Wire, there was no trace.